Hello, everyone. This is Dr. McCleary. This is the fifth day after the resurrection when Jesus rose on Sunday morning and he began to mingle himself with the disciples, wanting them to be of good courage and wanting them to not to fear. But yet, even in that, the Bible says in the book of Matthew's, that some yet to believe that he rose from the dead. And the Bible said he was like transformed. They probably didn't really knew him. He didn't look the same after he rose from the dead. But then he allowed them to see the scars in his hand. And Thomas told the Lord to help him with his unbelief because he just could not believe that he had died and rose from the dead. And it's so important that when God does anything beyond our comprehension, that we be a believer. And if we're not a believer, we must ask the Lord to help my unbelief. Now, I know we preach and say that God can do all things, but saying it and believing it, oftentimes it doesn't match up because it seems so impossible. I believe it seems impossible because he was such a human man like the rest of us. And I was thinking about the resurrection and how he was common among men and how he had left his throne in glory and he fashioned himself like a regular man. And because of that, it's very difficult. And I do believe that's what my prayer is today. I keep praying to God about our unbelief because God uses men and women. God uses men and women to do his miracles, to still witness for him. And it just showed me as reading the word and going back and just reminiscing on the events of what happened during that time. You found that people became very angry and some even became a jealous or envy and decided not to believe. But saints of God, those of us that know our God, shall do exploit. I do believe that this is the time of the timing, the time that God told me many years. Someone was complaining, well, we don't see miracles anymore. The church is not complaining about the church. Well, I want to assure you, saints of God, if you are in the midst of those who are doing that's complaining, it's not going to make God change his mind. It's not going to make God prove anything to us. And God spoke to me. He said, miracles are to them that believe, Charlene. In other words, you can get a miracle right in front of someone who's complaining that they don't see miracles because miracles come by way of the Spirit. It's revealed to us through our spirit. Because God is so powerful and all-knowing, the Bible said they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as long as we walk in the flesh and do mind the things of the flesh, we cannot be a partaker of his divine nature, nor will we be able to see what he's doing supernaturally in the spirit realm if we're not living there. There is a place that he has requested that we live. He said that walk in the spirit, that you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. So he's telling us we have to live in the spirit so that we can identify with what he's doing. Now, I'm not saying you walking around, but, you know, looking all spooky or pretending you're seeing something. No, your soul must go through a transformation. And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to stay on this quite a bit for a long time. My topic this time is the promise, that the promise has come. And we must remember that the promise has come. Jesus came and he died so that he could then go back to heaven in a spiritual body and then leave and descend from that body and leave his spirit here, that men may freely receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the promise of our Lord, our God, and our Savior. That's what the promise is. It is the Holy Ghost, that we might be transformed and changed into his image and into his likeness. Now, are we going to look like him? No, that's not it. But our spirit will be renewed. And so let us be mindful that Jesus came and stayed among the disciples about 40 days and communed with them. And then he told them that he had to go back to be with the Father. So I want to encourage you, the saints of God, how God prophesied this to Isaiah and told Isaiah that this was going to transpire, that this was going to happen. And Isaiah wrote it down. That's why I tell people it behooves all of us to read, because truth is in reading. God left a testament, a testimony, and he had the disciples to write it down so that we would not forget it. And if we did, we could go back and remind ourselves by reading the word of God. And Isaiah starts off like this. I thought about how Isaiah starts off. He says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender branch, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should receive him." Or, you know, in other words, he wasn't even good looking. Isn't it something how we're so moved by men and women that are good looking? You know, you kind of turn your head, you get a quick head turn because they look so good. God did not even allow him to have on any beauty. He was just a normal person. A normal person. And I do believe that that's what deceives so many of us now. I watch that. I look at that. You either got to be pretty, you know, a certain skin tone, hair tone, you know, so then we make sure we get our weaves on and our hairs on. And, you know, we want to have that beautiful look. And now we're going to plastic surgery because we want to have that beauty. The Bible said that Jesus wasn't like that. His facial features were not very attractive. But yet, God chose him to put him in that body frame because he wanted the people around him to realize he was just a normal person, nothing beautiful about him. But yet, Isaiah said this, "Who shall believe our report?" Many today yet have a problem with believing. And I'm hoping during this time of this session that I can bring some hope to you, that you can begin to believe in the divine plan of God. That's what it's all about. That you and I may receive the divine plan of God, that we be believers of God, that we accept the promises of God. One of my favorite passages of scripture in the New Testament, in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, he said, "Let us therefore fear, get concerned, not be fearful, but reverence. Let us therefore reverence. Let us therefore fear. Let us reverence." And it says fear. "Let us therefore fear that a promise being left unto us, and we seem to come short of it." We should be concerned that God left us a promise and we have yet to receive it. He says now, "For the gospel was preached also to us, That's what Paul is saying. It was now preached to us. And not only us, but it was preached to them as well in the Old Testament. He said, but because of their unbelief, they could not receive the promise. Some of them died in the wilderness. They did not see the promised land, not because they couldn't have, but because of their unbelief. And this same thing can happen today, and it is happening. We might as well face it. I know, I understand. Some people like, well, but what I'm seeing is that we blame other people. We blame this, we blame that, we blame this. But there's a spiritual promise that has been left for all of us to be a partaker of, that divine nature, to be divine in spirit, to ask what you will that your joy might be filled. This is an individual invitation to be a partaker of the Spirit of God in the fullness of God by accepting Him as your Lord and Savior, and then receiving the fullness of God, His Holy Spirit, His Holy Ghost, so that we can walk in a divine nature while we are on the earth, and to conquer those things that so easily have us bound. God gave us a promise. And I hope to, as long as the Lord tells me, to stay on this subject. He said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left unto us, and we seem to come short of it. For the gospel was also preached unto them, but because it was not mixed with faith, they did not become a partaker of the promise that God had so suffered and gave up His Son for, so that we could have that promise that He said in the Garden of Eden, that the lady would bruise the head of the serpent, and that we would be free and we would walk in our fullness in God. And so therefore it's very important that you and I realize that God has left us such a promise so that we can live free and that we can be a partaker of His miracles and His divine nature. So I want to leave you with this today. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and it starts at the first verse. And it says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left to us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into a rest, as He says, as I have sworn in my wrath, if there should be any type of unbelief, we should not enter into His rest, although the work was finished from the foundation of the world. The work was finished from the foundation of the world. When it started, it was finished. I always say He walked into time and came from time back to the foundation and created life, knowing that we would have victory once we enter into that promise that He so willingly gave up His life so that we could have it freely. I'm going to be talking about it, and I'm going to really give you some insights so that you can become more aware of the benefits that you have in Christ Jesus as an individual, not as a churchgoer, not as a person that, you know, I'm with the saved group, but as an individual. What I'm talking to you, your promise is an individual reception or exception for you. Listen, remember, the promise has come. I want you to be blessed. You take care and God bless. Bye-bye.